Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hi. So today on the Irish Tech News Podcast, we have an interesting guest, particularly with awareness around climate change and doing what we can to help the environment. And you may have seen a lot of their adverts on YouTube because they've certainly been popping up for me. So I thought it'd be interesting to have them on. So first of all, who do we have the pleasure of speaking to today?
Well, you have the pleasure of speaking with Casper, is my name. And I'm the country manager for Swappy here for Ireland.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I guess first up, you don't sound Irish. So what's your background and is it a logical progression to what you do now?
Yes. So I'm actually Danish and I definitely not had a logical progression to where I am now. I actually started working in investment banking when I finished graduating from uni in Denmark. But then I quickly realized that life was too short for 16-hour working days, a strict hierarchy, and a mentality of, you know, we've done this like this always, which led me to move on to working for Google in Ireland. Hence, you know, that's the connection to Ireland, where I lived for about 3 years working for Google there, where my main job was to help Danish retailers adapt to a new digital world and basically help them in that transformation. Which, okay. You know, yeah, again, led me on to Swappy.
Uh-huh. And so I guess that's a good lead-in. So for those who don't know, what is Swappy and what are you aiming to do?
Well, Swappy's main aim is making refurbishment mainstream. And you know, what is refurbishment? That is basically buying used iPhones, used broken iPhones. We take them to a facility. We have two facilities, both in Helsinki and in Tallinn in Estonia, where we basically refurbish them. So we make sure to check everything is working, switch out the components that are not working, and making sure they basically function like new, and then sell those back to the consumer and the Irish consumer. Where the main goal, obviously, it's that means that the model are going to be cheaper than the price of a new one. But our main goal is basically making this mainstream, making people aware that this is an option, shouldn't be afraid to be scammed. And obviously, the environmental impact of this is at the core of what Swappy does.
Uh-huh. And this, that's good. And that's what, something I wanted to kind of get a sense around, because there's a lot of stories, a lot of examination of the environmental impact of creating an iPhone, and obviously it has a big footprint. So by what you guys do, how much impact does that have? How much value environmentally is there in getting a refurbished phone?
Sure. So I would say, if we look at the CO2 emissions, firstly, you know, every smartphone that is bought refurbished, basically you save 61 kilos of CO2 from buying refurbished, simply because the majority of the CO2 emissions coming from smartphones are the production of it. So mining for the minerals that it needs to use, shipping them off to another country, fixing them there, and then shipping them to whatever country they need to be sold in, which have basically resulted in Swappy coming out with 17,500 tons of CO2 in net negative for Swappy in 2020. So that basically means that all of our CO2 emissions, so that's both shipping the phones, the CO2 emissions from the spare parts, all of that, we take that, we bundle it up, and then we subtract that from the CO2 emissions that have been saved from a person buying a refurbished phone rather than a new one. And that has resulted in this 17.5 tons CO2 emissions in net negative. I would say, you know, this is a 2020, 2021, we are now in 7 other markets now, and our sales are growing at an equally fast pace. So we're definitely expecting this to have a stronger impact. But I think, you know, CO2 emissions are an easy one for everybody to understand. I think the true value of buying a refurbished device is the reduction of the waste from the precious metals, right? So when every single electronic device have cobalt in it, it has palladium in it, all of these precious metals, there is a scarcity of those metals. There is not a lot of them, hence the name precious metals. And even though electronic waste or e-waste really accounts for only 2% of all total waste, it accounts for 75% of all hazardous waste. So all of the waste that we basically dump out, the majority of the hazardous waste that we get here is actually from electronic waste. And that's really where the, you know, the key is for us, is to reduce this hazardous waste, to reduce waste in general.
Yeah, look, I mean, and obviously that's smart and that's a positive thing. And so I kind of have a two-parter, which is I'm not sure what your strategy is for post-usage. So either do you have a plan on what people can do with devices after end of life? I mean, can they be refurbished again, or they must reach a point perhaps when they can't be? And then tied to that, as you mentioned, that it's a small percentage, but it's a high percentage of hazardous waste. Do you think we'll have a scenario in the future where we will go back to wee landfills to find, like, that in theory that could be a more efficient place to find cobalt and these other precious materials than mining them from Rwanda? Like what does the future look like in terms of post usage of phones as well?
Yeah, sure. So when it comes to post usage, they can definitely be refurbished again. That's also why we buy phones from consumers, and why you can sell your phone to us, is because this is the cornerstone of a circular business model, or the circular economy, is that anything that you stop using, you know, you can sell that, earn a little bit of money on the side, but definitely, you know, we receive these phones, we refurbish them again, and then we sell them again, because we know that there are different people out there. A person who is looking for an iPhone 11 is not the same as a person looking for an iPhone 8, which people are definitely still using. So this post usage, you can definitely still use these phones, refurbish them, and sell them again. Then when it comes to this landfill questions, or these where these precious metals are coming from, that is basically what's already what's happening in Africa at the moment, but not in a very good way. So what I mean by that is a lot of countries, a lot of businesses, well, they have these systems for recycling waste, especially from electronic waste, but it's often not done correctly. So often a lot of this waste still ends up in massive landfills, particularly in Ghana in Africa, where you will have these people that, you know, they don't have any other source of income. So what they do is they walk around these landfills and they get as much copper as they can out of these things. So they burn all the rubber, for example, from wires, and then they get the copper out of it. And that has a huge negative impact on their life expectancy, on their general, you know, life experience.
Yeah.
So it can definitely be improved. And I definitely think that's where we're going to head, right? With any material that we're running out and whatever material is becoming more and more scarce, well, we definitely need to figure out, you know, how can we continue to basically reuse this, right? We're having a chip shortage right now globally. Which, you know, if we don't figure out a proper way of recycling all of these materials, well, we're definitely going to run out into other chip shortages in the future.
Oh, look, yeah, I mean, and that's something that we'll dig into. While we're talking about this, so like you're in the Irish market, so to drill into Ireland, for example, what kind of people are buying from you guys? Like, is it young people? Is it old people? Are you having any unexpected insights into the kind of people that your product appeals to?
I would say it's very funny. It follows a bit of a stereotype. So young people have adopted our products and adopted our ways of thinking much faster than other generations. So particularly the 18 to 24 year olds. I think that goes without saying is that the younger people also care more about the environment. They often do not have as much money as older generations do. So I think our product has a really good fit for those. And I think they're more prone to adopting new trends or new business models, right? We've definitely received more people interested in our products from the younger generation, particularly the 18 to 24 year olds, who account for roughly, 27% of our sales at the moment. And I think that comes as a function of young people not having enough money or at least less money than the older generation. They're more environmentally focused. So our product is really a good fit for those. I think what we've then established following that is quite interesting, is that a lot of families, a lot of moms and dads choose to buy refurbished from us as well. And that comes from two reasons. So what we've seen is that the first reason is it's obviously more affordable, right? If you need to buy three new iPhones, that's a significant cost. If you can cut, 30 to 40% of that cost, then you're obviously saving a lot of money that can be used elsewhere for your family. That's the first reason. The second reason is that we actually see, these teenagers reaching out to their parents and saying to them that they want a refurbished product. And I think that's an extremely positive development that the teenagers are asking for the more sustainable option. They're asking the their families, their mom and dad for a more environmentally friendly product. So I think that's a really positive development. I think Ireland specifically, we've definitely seen more families adopted faster than other markets. And I would say, I think that's probably because Irish people are great bargain hunters in the end.
Yeah, I think it's both. I mean, because we have a growing degree of veganism within our own family, and it's come from the 12-year-old. And similarly, it's sustainability and environmental issues from the bottom up in terms of age that are pushing that. And so the refurbished aspect, I get that. And I think that enables them to weigh up the conflict, because they've heard about the impact on silverback gorillas because of their scarce resources. And therefore, if a refurbished phone reduces deforestation, I can see why sometimes it might be the kids saying to the parents, I'd like an iPhone, but I'd like a refurbished one. Now, as you're deeply in this space, right? What could good look like for refurbished tech in the future? If things were to go well in 1 to 3 years' time, could we see better things happening? What might be coming down the line?
I think what we really want to do is, the overall mission for Swappy is making refurbishment mainstream again. And what we mean by that is our goal is to achieve, to make sure that the markets that we're in, that 50% of all electronics are refurbished in those markets. Doesn't need to be them buying it from us, but that's our internal goal. And what we really like to compare ourselves to is the auto industry. So, mm-hmm.
I heard BMW want to create that at the end of life, a car can be completely reused again. So is it that kind of concept?
Exactly. And we want to see the same development as we did in the car market from the 1980s to now, where the used car market grew from just being 10% of the market to now being 50% of the market. We want to accelerate that. And I think in the future, you're also going to see that, device ownership is probably a thing of the past. Simply because, the newer models come out, but we don't need the new models. We don't need the newest tech for it. But I think we also want to be, continuously upgraded from whatever benchmark that we're coming from every standpoint, from whatever standpoint we're coming from. So I think device ownership, or, you know, smartphone ownership, computer ownership, it's going to take similar route as to what you would see in the tech world in general, and that's the whole servitization of things. So what I would see is that we're moving away from an ownership, but basically using these devices as tools, right? They're no longer this prestige object. They're no longer this tool that was a luxury product. It's a commodity now. You need a smartphone. You need a computer to live in today's world. And I think we're going to see that people don't really care in the future about, you know, where, you know, who, if I own this product or not, as long as this product works for me, as long as this product does what it's supposed to do, as long as the tool works in my favor. And that's really where I think we want to see the future heading as well, is that you're simply given a product, you're given a tool in your hand that you then, you know, switch out very easily to a new tool as soon as your old tool becomes redundant.
Look, I mean, and that's cool. And that's very much, you know, same as, say, cars, mobility as a service. This is device as a service. And, you know, I know a lot of people who say, I don't really want to upgrade to a new iPhone because the one I have is good and it still works. And then you have these, then the manufacturers counter reverse engineer them so that the devices don't last as long and force you to upgrade. So therefore, with what you're outlining, where are the Apples and the Samsungs on this? Are they buying into this concept? And I mean, you may not be partnering with them, but do you see in the future that they would partner more with you guys, or is that a competitive space for you?
I think, you know, the Apples and the Samsungs of the world should definitely continue pushing the boundaries of tech as they continue to do, right? There's always going to be a space for new devices, and there should be, right? If we stop innovating, if we stop developing new devices, we'll never continue to develop as a society. But I see them as more of a collaborative partner than anything. Mm-hmm. They have intimate understandings of their products, how they work. They have their original spare parts. You know, they know their product better than anyone else. So I would really see them either, you know, I don't think they're ever gonna push back on companies like us. I think they're gonna collaborate with us in the future. I think the EU is actually doing a great thing with right to repair, for example. So I think they're only going to receive more pressure for recycling and refurbishing products. They're only going to receive more regulatory pressure as climate change become more and more important. So the ideal scenario, and I think that's also where I think the industry is heading, is that these Samsungs and Apples and Huawei are going to partner up with refurbishment players like us to make sure that they can achieve the goals that are being set for them in the environmental aspect of things.
Look, I mean, I hear you, and I definitely would hope so, because I mean, you know, not so long ago, you know, you would go to Africa and you'd go to markets and they could do amazing things with refurbishing. So the idea of locking it down and making it not possible to do that doesn't seem a great idea, because it means that you have this one-time device, and if it slightly breaks, that's it, you have to throw it away and buy another one, which I think everyone's beginning to realize it's not a sustainable model for our planet. So I hear what you're saying, and I hope it goes that way. So in this context, where do you get your inspiration and information from? How do you remain up to date, and where do you learn about new and interesting ideas that help to inform your thoughts on this?
I think we definitely make sure to keep up to date with the news and the political climate. That's an important factor, right? Because it does impact our business quite a lot. I think tech news as well is a big one for us, simply because, you know, recently Apple announced that they're gonna allow individual consumers to buy original spare parts from them so they can fix their phones. I think that's great news. I think that's not a threat for us. There will always be people who consider convenience over fixing it yourself. And of course, that's important for us to immediately understand and adapt to the new environment. I think what I personally look at a lot is certain websites that also relate a lot to the sustainability and environmental impacts of areas. I know there's a couple of Danish news sites that does that, and I tend to stay up to date on that. I think one of the main challenges that we also face, you know, both you and me, is what is actually environmentally friendly and what is not. Right? There is a ton of greenwashing out there. So I really try to educate myself on what is the, you know, the right choice environmentally, to simply understand, you know, what choices should I make. And then I think, you know, internally, we also have these competitions of see who can, you know, reduce their waste the most, right? What other things in your household can you refurbish yourself? What other household objects can you, you know, instead of throwing it away, can you really adapt to something new, right? I think it's a fun competition you can have with yourself. It's a fun way of thinking is, do I need to throw this out, or can I actually use this for something in the future or something right now?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, and you know, that used to be the drawer that people had in the kitchen of things that they might come in handy in the future, and therefore were better to keep than throw out. Although you have to be careful that you don't end up with 20 years of newspapers as well.
That's very true. That's very true. Everything in moderation.
Yeah. Look, it's been a pleasure to speak to you, Casper. So how can people learn more about you and your work?
I think, you know, we have a pretty decent blog on swappy.com. I think if you want to learn more, please, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to my LinkedIn, for example, or anything else. I'm more than happy to answer any questions. And I mean, we have an extraordinarily good Irish customer service. So if you have any other like questions about the products themselves, well, you know, give them a call. They're extremely friendly. But yeah, if you want to learn more about Swappy, if you want to learn more about opportunities with Swappy, I think reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'll be happy to answer any message, and just go to swappy.com.
Awesome. Thanks. It's been good to speak to you, and hopefully it raises awareness and gets people thinking about this even more so. So look, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter @Irish_TechNews, on Facebook, facebook.com/Irish Tech News, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.